This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You know, we've been talking a lot about the prophets that are well known amongst the people of Scripture. The Jews and Christians are very familiar with a lot of the prophets we've been discussing. But I thought today what we should do is talk about some of the prophets that they're not as familiar with. You see, at the time of Noah, alayhi salam, the people had the great flood. You remember the story, and they had the big ship. Noah and some of his people got in it. They had all the animals. And then when the ship came down, those people were true believers in Allah. And they only worshipped Allah. But then Noah, alayhi salam, and his people had children. They had sons and daughters, and they had sons and daughters. And from them came some called Shem, Ham, Japheth. And these are mentioned in the old scriptures as well. I want to talk about, first of all, Shem, and then we'll talk about the people of Imran. But for sure, you can get an idea here about something, about language. Because in the Arabic language, the letter Sin, like this, and the letter Sheen, like that, are reversed in the Hebrew language. Because where we say Sh, they say S. So when you hear Muslims say Salaam Alaikum, you will find the Hebrew people saying Shalom Aleikum. Can you say Shalom Aleikum?
Shalom Aleikum!
Yes, so anybody who knows the Hebrew language, the Jewish language, they know you just said, peace be unto you. And so now we'll say it in the Arabic. Assalamu Alaikum!
Assalamu Alaikum!
Now you can understand what I just told you, why they say Sham and we say Sam. Because the people of Sam, they got in a big fight with the people of Ham. And this fight went on, and it was so bad, and so many people were, you know, upset about this thing. So the people of Sham, they left. They all left. They went, and they went, and they went, along with the people of Imran, and they all migrated away from this area. Now, the area where they were was in Iraq, which was also called Babylon. And when they left, they continued to a place which used to be called Felix Arabia. And Felix meant something really big. And Arabia, the peninsula there, which we know today, has Saudi Arabia, and it has Yemen is there, UAE is there, Qatar is there, Kuwait, all of these countries are there. But in those times, this was known as Yemen and Oman and like that. So they went there and they settled this area. Now these people, the people of Sam or Sham, they were big. They were very strong and huge people, powerful people. And they were proud of themselves. And they used to build big buildings and palaces and even big temples. And they worshipped Allah. Now this is what I want to make an emphasis on today. Is about people who worship Allah but they still make a big mistake. So pay attention to this story, what happened. Remember, these are descendants from the time of Noah alayhi salam. They remember about the flood. They know the story. And here they are now building these big temples. And they worshipped Allah. But they also worshipped other things with Allah. These people also looked to the stars and they worshipped the stars and they worshipped other things like the moon, for instance. And all of these gods, and they had many, maybe five, six, I don't know how many, and they had different names for each one. And they used to do the same as the mistakes from the people before, which was what? You make the statues, you make the little images, and so on. And in today, modern archaeology, they've been able to trace back and find samples of these very things that Allah speaks about in the Quran, and we know for sure that they really did do these things. A big mistake. So, when people begin to do what's called false worship, they start doing other mistakes too. Because, I want to show you about something, I want you to think about it. When a person says, there's another God with Allah, this is a lie. It's a big lie. When a person lies, then all of the society starts to break down. Lying breaks down everything else. Because when a person lies, they start thinking wrong. For instance, when the people start seeing other people have something nice and they said, I want that for me. That should be mine. Well, that's a lie. That's theirs, not yours, true? So then after people become, it's called hasid in the Arabic language, jealous, really jealous. I want that. How come you got that? I should have that. And they start doing what? They start to cheat to get what they want. And if that doesn't work, they'll do what? They'll steal to get what they want. So they lie, envy, cheat, steal, and then they do worse, really worse. They even kill. And these are the things that lead up to the breakdown in society. And all of this is oppression. All of this is in Arabic, it's called dhulam. Can you say dhulam?
Dhulam.
Dhulam is bad. A'udhu billah. I want to stay away from dhulam. And Allah tells us that He hates dhulam so much and He forbids Himself to ever do dhulam. Allah never oppresses. Never, ever, ever does Allah oppress. And He hates it when we oppress ourselves or other people. Now what happened here, these people had gone so far away from the right way, even though they still said Allah sometimes and prayed to Allah sometimes, but they were praying to these other gods. So in all of the problems that were going on and all this oppression that was happening and all the meanness, all the evil, so Allah sent a prophet from them, their own people. His name was Hud. Can you say Hud?
Hud.
Yeah, that was his name, Hud. And he came to his people and he told them, listen, guys, you're doing the wrong thing. You're mixing your worship. You worship Allah alone. They said, what's wrong with worshiping these gods? We found our fathers worshiping these gods. So what's the big deal? Okay? Now we have Allah and we have these other gods. Hud was telling them, that doesn't work, guys. It doesn't work. You have to worship Allah alone. They said, who are you? He said, I'm a messenger of Allah to you. They're going, oh yeah? You're just a common guy, just like us. Okay? What do you want? He said, I don't want anything from you. Allah provides for me. I don't need anything. I'm not asking for any reward from you. I'm just telling you that you need to worship Allah alone. And that's it. Just worship Allah. And they're like, uh-huh, yeah, right. What do you want? And the more he talked to them, the more they got angry about it. And they were like, you know, what can we do to get rid of this guy? He's making us nuts. But some of the people listened to Hud and they realized that, you know what? This is what happened before. This is what happened to the people of Nuh, alayhi salam. They were warned. They were warned clearly by Noah. He told them, guys, you're going to get destroyed. And we got a prophet right here saying the same thing. Eventually, that's what Hud told him. He said, you know what? If you don't do it, Allah is going to bring a punishment on you. And they're going, so? We don't believe you. The more we listen to you, the more we don't believe you. There's some lessons we get from this. It means that no matter how much you tell some people, they're not going to listen. But you still have to be persistent and tell the truth. Always tell the truth. How many gods are there?
One.
One. There's no gods. There's only Allah. Yeah? La ilaha?
Illallah.
La ilaha?
Illallah.
There is no God except Allah. So this is the message that Hud is bringing to these people. And they are rejecting it wholesale, across the board. We don't want it. Well, things got a bit tough around there. Now, these people became really evil, really oppressing. And he kept trying to warn them and warn them. And finally they're like this, oh yeah, why don't you just bring it on, okay? If there's any punishment coming, we don't see it, do it. And he was telling them, guys, you realize what you're asking for? Who cares? And then it came. It came in a horrible way. And when Allah sent the punishment on these people, they really suffered in the strangest way. How these kind of punishments come, Allah knows best. But some of these punishments can start, as we heard about the flood, the rain came, you know. But when these people saw the clouds coming, they got happy because they had had a drought. You remember this story? It's similar again, you know. No rain. Hey, rain's coming. Yay, guys. Hey, rain's coming. All right. And now we'll show this Hud guy what's really up because, you know, our plants will bloom again. We'll have everything we need. Don't worry about it. It's cool. But then it came. It was bad. It was really bad. It was so bad. But the only people saved were the people of Hud that followed him. And they took off, right? But when this came, they said that the wind from this thing was so horrible. That I can't even imagine. By the way, I saw a hurricane before. Several hurricanes. I've been in them. I was even once in one of the biggest tornadoes that ever came to Texas. A big tornado. It almost got me. It got my business and it got my truck. Things like this. And it's amazing what that did. But nothing like what happened to these people of Hud. You know how bad it was? Yeah. They were in their tents. By the way, I told you they built buildings, right? Hood was telling them, why are you building these buildings but you live in the tents? They did. They lived in tents. And they were trying to hide in these tents. And here came the big wind, and it got them. So much so that it threw them up in the air, and when they came down, it bashed their heads off. And listen to this. The wind went right through them, where the hole is for the head, and just the wind went through and made them hollow like logs. This is what it says, and I read it, and that's what it said. It happened to these people. They were hollow like dead logs laying all over. Not a single person lived. All. Every one of them died because of this horrible thing that they were doing. It's not just that they were being bad to each other, which Allah hates that, but also they were being bad to Allah because they were worshiping something with Allah. Allah does not accept that you make partners with Him in worship. Let's go on and talk some more about what happened in the Arabian Peninsula, because there were others also. And one of them was called the tribe of Thamud. The tribe of Thamud, these people came after the people of Ad. And again, there were people amongst them who worshipped Allah. Well, there were people who worshipped other than Allah. And some, they didn't worship anything at all. They just, I don't know what they believed. It was bad. And again, Allah sends a prophet to them. This prophet was named Saleh. Can you say Saleh?
Saleh.
Yes, Saleh was the prophet who came to the people of Thamud. And when he came to them, he was telling them the same message of every prophet. Worship Allah alone without any partners. Give up your false worship. Stop praying to these phony gods. And give credit to Allah. Say thank you to Allah. Now Allah had given them a lot of things too. They had a lot of stuff going for them. But then Allah began to test them. How? By taking things away. And at one point, see, water was real important. You know what happens in the desert when you don't have water, right? So water was important, and they had some wells where you crawl down in a well and get water. Now, have you ever seen a well? Well, a well in the desert is not like a well that we have here. A well we have here, you might have some bricks and then a rope and a bucket. It goes down and gets the water. But over there is not like that. This is what they had. They had these holes or fissures or cracks in the ground. And you had to climb down, 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 get down in the well, and then scoop out the water. And it was dark down there, too. And by the way, it could be spiders, could be snakes, could be scorpions. So it was dangerous, you know. But they had their wells there. And then one day, their prophet, which was Saleh, was talking with their leaders. And he was arguing with them in a good way, intellectually talking to them about, look, where does everything come from, you know? Allah gives us the sun, He gives us the moon, He gives us the stars, He gives us day, He gives us night. This is the kind of arguments that we've always used against disbelief. To show you that how could anything like this come by accident? It doesn't. It's only coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why don't you believe and why don't you obey Allah? And obey your prophet means obey Allah, because every one of the prophets said, obey me because I'm only telling you what Allah is telling me to tell you. Just do what I tell you because Allah has told me what to tell you. And they're like, oh, yeah, right. You're just somebody from us, and who knows, maybe you're kind of cuckoo, you know? Maybe, you know, we don't know. And how come you're from us? Why aren't you an angel? This is another argument. We keep seeing it come up, don't we? They keep saying, how come you're just a normal person? But it's a normal person from the people that should speak their language and warn them, yeah. And that's what was happening. Well, the next thing that happens is that they really got into it with their prophet, Saleh, and they told him, look, you want to give us a miracle, we'll listen to you. But what we want you to do, you see those mountains over there? Why don't you make a camel come up out of those mountains? We want it to be a unique camel, like none other. In fact, we want it to be a big, beautiful, valuable, unique camel, and we want it to be 10 months pregnant with a camel inside of it. So this would be a she camel, which is pregnant. In fact, we want it to come out of that rock over there. What? Now look what Saleh told them. He said, okay, check this out. If Allah makes that rock split open, and this big camel comes out of there, this unique camel, and it's 10 months pregnant, will you believe? They said, yeah, oh yeah, we'll believe then, oh yeah. He said, now listen. And he made an agreement with him. He said, listen to me. If this happens, then you'll have no choice but to believe. And if you don't believe after that, you're going to be in deep, deep trouble. They said, yeah, yeah, okay. Do your thing. We'll see. And then Allah made the rock split. And what came out?
Camel.
Big camel. Unique camel. And it was 10 months pregnant. Exactly what they said. Is this possible by accident? No. Could some person make it up?
No.
Nope.
Only Allah.
No, only Allah. Exactly. Exactly. Only Allah could do this, and he did it. Did they believe? Some of them did. But most of them, they didn't. They didn't. How? And now for a while, they were like, wow, that was pretty amazing. Were you that day? Yeah, I was there, you know. Did you see the rocks? Yeah, well, this is a big deal. But it went on, it went on. See, because there came a condition. Whenever Allah gives a miracle like this to the people, then he's going to make a condition after that, because after all, you've seen something amazing here. Now do something about it. Now here's what Allah wanted them to do. They could drink from the well of this camel. There's a special well for this camel. They could drink on one day, but the next day, she drinks. But check out what happened. When she would drink and fill up with it, she would have milk. So much milk that all the people could drink her milk. Hundreds of people with milk left over. She was amazing, but she sucked the well dry. Nothing left. But they could drink her milk. That's a good deal, huh?
Yeah.
Shouldn't be any problem, right? Then the next day you can have all the water you want. And this went on for a while, but what happened, the people who really didn't like the idea of this Salih telling them what to do, and they wanted to go back to worshiping their gods, they hated him, you know that? They hated him, they hated his message. So they began to put this hatred for him on this poor camel. They started hating the camel. And they were thinking, you know what? Let's get rid of this camel. Then one of the women amongst the tribe, she went to one of the men and said, hey, anything you want, just kill the camel. And another woman said, hey, I'll marry you if you'll kill the camel. So these two guys that had been promised this, they went around and tried to find other people. They got seven more guys. 2 plus 7 is how much?
9.
So these 9 people, that's all, out of the whole entire tribe, they're the ones that brought down the big punishment. Now, I want you to pay attention to this because I learned something from one of my friends in the UK about this subject. Only 9 people were doing this, but all the rest of the people didn't stop them. Huh? 9 people were going to do something which is called Munkar. Have you heard of Munkar? Munkar is evil, evil, evil. Maruf, this is good, 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 yeah? Have you heard about this? Allah tells us in the Quran, Kuntun khayran umatin ukhrijat linnasi ta'maruna bil maruf. And by the way, when somebody's reciting Quran, you shouldn't interrupt them. Did you know that? Yeah, okay. So this ayah in the Quran is telling us that you're the best of nations raised up because you call the people to al-maruf, which is very good. It's talking about all the things that Allah stands for, all the things that la ilaha illallah brings and what goes with it. But munkar, the opposite, is the opposite thing, meaning that all the things that Allah is forbidding you to do, all the things you should stay away from, those things are munkar. So these 9 people, anyway, decide they're going to kill this camel. Kill her. Why? They said, we want the water every day. Well, let the camel drink because you can get, you know, the milk if you need it. Come on, guys. Nope. So one of them, he went forward. He was really a bad guy. He went forward and shot an arrow into her leg. She tried to get away, but she couldn't because she had an arrow in her leg. It was hard to get away. Then the other one, he went up and chopped her other leg with a sword. Yes. And then another came forward and stabbed her, and she bled to death right there. This is what they did. They had been warned by Sally, leave her alone. She is the she-camel of Allah. Let her drink. They were warned. Read the Quran. That's what it says. But they did it anyway. And then Sally went to them and said, guys, you have done a horrible thing. And guess what? In 3 days, Allah's punishment is going to come on you. Now, here's something interesting. Why 3 days? Because they have time to say what? Astaghfirullah. They have time to repent to Allah. Allah's given them time in that 3 days. You could say, oh, I'm sorry, Allah. Please forgive us. We're sorry we killed your camel. But they didn't. Instead, they started making fun of Salih again, saying, oh, yeah? Why 3 days? What's the big deal? Why don't you just bring it now? I don't see anything. Hello? No problems here. So the first day went by, second day went by, third day went by, and they're like, see, we told you. And then a cloud came. But they weren't afraid. Why? They said, rain at last. Yay, we're going to get rain. In the desert, you get happy when you see rain. And they were in these places. Hydramaut is one of the places where they are in this area. If you know where's Hydramaut and Yemen and all that, this is where they were. And if you go there today, you can see some of these ruins from these people even now. But anyway, now here's what happens next. Here it comes, the storm. And it comes. And like rain, and like, lightning, huge thunderbolts. Unbelievable. You know the kind of thunderbolts that are so bright, it lights up the whole sky and then it becomes black afterwards? And then it lights up again, you know? And it makes such crashing and you'd be holding your ears like, oh. And this is the condition they were in. Then Allah sent earthquakes. Zalzala. And now the earth is like this and cracking and opening and people, you know, going crazy. And they don't know which way to run. Where are you going to run in an earthquake? Over there? Maybe the ground's going to open over there. Maybe it's going to open over here. You're like, okay. This is the condition they were in. That's not where it stopped. It got worse than that. Now the rain, now the lightning, now the thunder, now the earthquakes, and then the shout. And there's no way to describe it in English language, and I'm not even sure I understand it in Arabic. All I know is when it comes, everything dies. And that's what happened to them. The good news, the people of Sali that did believe, they got to leave. Allah let them escape away from this problem, and that's good. They escaped it, and they continued to worship Allah alone without any partners. Assalamu alaikum!
Wa alaikum salam!
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. We've been talking about the different prophets and their lives ever since the time of Adam and to Noah. We've discussed a lot about the prophets even who went into Arabia. But now I'd like to talk about the sons of Ishaq. And who is Ishaq? And we'll have to talk about his father, too, before we can do that. The father of Ishaq and Ismail is known as Abram. That was his first name, and then later he was called Abraham. And Abram, when he was little, very, very little, he was what's called a middle child. Do you know what a middle child is? That's like somebody's the oldest, somebody's the youngest, and somebody's in between. And some of you might be middle children. And we say that the middle child always has problems. Because the first one, he gets all the attention, you know. And then another one is born. And then the baby is born. And then they give all the attention to the baby. But the middle child, he doesn't get much attention. So, anyway, Abram was a middle child. His father was about 70 years old when he was born. So his father was very old. And the people of the time of Abraham, what they used to do, they used to worship different things. Some people worship wood, stones, and things that we've talked about before. But some of them also worship the things up in the heavens. They worship stars. They worship the moon. They worship the sun. And these things were appealing to them for worship. Now, in the case, though, of his father, what he used to do is make these statues. Not only he worshiped them, but he made them. And he sold them. Pretty good deal, huh? So he was going around worshiping these statues, making these statues, and some of them he made small and some he made very big. And when Abram was small, he used to play on top of them. Can you imagine this? And he observed that sometimes He could make big ears. His father might make very big ears on him. Sometimes he makes small ears or a big nose. And he was thinking, how could this be a God if you can make it? If you can make your own God, what would that be? We have a good example of this that happened after the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar ibn Khattab, when he was the caliph after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sitting there and he started just crying. And then he started laughing. So some of the people went to him and they said, oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, leader of the believers, we'd like to ask you a question. By the way, they were afraid of him. So they said, is it okay if we ask a question, you know? He said, yes, Fadl, what is your question? He said, well, we saw you were crying and then you were laughing and it was strange to us. He said, oh, as far as when I was crying, he said, in the days of ignorance in Jahiliyyah, we used to do some very bad things. We were superstitious. We were dumb, you know. And what we used to do, if a girl was born, we used to take the baby girl into the desert and bury her alive. He said, and I had to do that with my own baby daughter when she was born, and took her into the desert and buried her in the sand. And he said, and this makes me cry even now. He said, as far as when I was laughing, one day when some people came from a far distance to worship by the Kaaba there in Mecca, they brought all their gods with them. And I found I didn't have any God with me, and I would like a God. But I had some dates, rutab. And he said, I shaped the dates on the stem that they were on and made a God from it, so I had something to worship. But later I got hungry, so I ate it. And that makes us laugh even today. How can you make a God and then eat it? Well, exactly this is the point that Abraham was having in his mind. How can you make this statue and then worship it? How, when you took the stone, you cut the stone or the sticks or whatever, and then you stand it up there and you talk to it and you know it can't hear you, and you know it's never going to answer, how? How is this? So, some of you remember the story, but I'd like to tell this again for the emphasis of the story and how it fits here. Because what happened one day, Abraham, he went into the big temple where they kept all the statues, the stone figures, the stick figures, even the great big one. They had a huge one with the big ears. Yeah. So he went in there and he took a mallet. Now, a mallet is like a sledgehammer. It's a really big hammer, big hammer. And he went in and he started smash, and crash, and thrashing, and destroying all, and breaking them into pieces until there was what? Nothing but junk everywhere, except which one? The big one. He left the big one. What did he do? He put the hammer right by the big one, and he left. So when the people came, my God, what's happened? Look, all of our statues are broken. Who did this thing? All the stone statues, the wood statues, everything is broken. Oh, my God, what happened? Look at this. And they're crying and worrying, and they said, who did such a thing? They said, remember the boy? Remember the boy complaining to us about our statues? Ah, let us go see. And so they went and they found him. And they brought him into the temple. They said, look about you. What do you see? Well, what do you say? What do you say about this? He said, why are you asking me? Why don't you ask the big one? He's the one with the hammer. And look what they said. He can't hear. And he can't speak. And that's when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, then why do you worship him? Because when people worship, they're asking. They need something, so they ask. They're asking a statue. Can statues hear? No. It doesn't matter how big you make the ears, they still can't hear. Huh? It doesn't matter how big you make the mouth, they still can't speak. And that's exactly the problem that they had at that time. Same as today, when people worship these rocks, sticks, stones, and bones, isn't it? We talked about the first part of it, which is the statues made from stones, rock, bricks, and whatever, wood. But some of the other people, they were worshiping what? They were worshiping the heavenly bodies, the stars, the moon, and the sun. What about that? So Ibrahim, alayhi salam, he knew that the statues didn't get it. But he began to look for his Lord, and he was thinking, okay, let me look to the heavens. And Allah showed him the stars at night. He looked up and he said, this is my Lord. Because it's big and it's out there, you know. He saw this one big star. He said, there you go. But what happened? The star set. And he said, oh, I don't like the things that set. And then what? Allah showed him the moon. There was the moon. That, well, the moon's bigger, right? He said, there, that's my Rabb. That's my Lord right there. But it also set. And he's like, oh, man, what's up with this? That's not right. This isn't, you know, unless Allah guide me, what am I going to... And then Allah showed him the sun. In the day the sun comes, he said, now there, that's something big, isn't it, the sun? But when it went down, he said, that doesn't make any sense. And then he realized, all of that is also false too. Worshipping something just because it's far away, just because it's up in the air, it still is the wrong thing to worship. It's not Allah. So he went back to his people and he said, I am free from you guys and all that you worship. I don't care if you worship rocks, sticks, stones, bones, stars, moon, sun, whatever. I'm out of here. I don't do it. I don't like it. That's not me, right? So, and I want you to think about this and see how this makes sense to you. If you can see it, that's not Allah. If you can hear it, that's not Allah. If you can smell it, taste it, feel it, imagine it, not Allah. No human being could be Allah because you can see them, hear them, right? Food, you can taste it, smell it, that can't be Allah. So anything that your senses perceive, that is not Allah. Allah is beyond your scope of imagination even. So we as Muslims, we don't even try to imagine who is Allah or what is Allah. Or we don't even say, okay, Allah is here or Allah is there. No, Allah is outside the creation. Make sense? And this is what Ibrahim was trying to tell his people. He was trying to make it clear to them that all this you have is nonsense. No brainer. Well, by the way, do you think they like to hear that? No. People always hate to hear that, don't they? They rejected this idea right away. No, 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 no. Come on, man. Get off of that stuff. And they start their normal arguments that always happen between prophets and their people, arguing, yes, but, yeah, but you don't understand, and this is something we did for a long time, and, you know, and he went through this thing with them. And by the way, they were pretty upset about what he did to the statues in the temple, too. So much so, if you remember the story, that Nimrod condemned him to be burned. Remember that? How big was the fire? Was it big?
Yeah.
How big? Huge. He said, I need a fire. I need a fire so big that no fire ever been like this fire before. And they did. They began to make this fire bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it was so huge you couldn't see across to the other side. You couldn't see around it from this side or from that side. It was this big of a fire. And flames reaching up into the sky higher than you could see. It was a huge fire. And he said, now, throw him in. Well, the people who grabbed Ibrahim and ran to throw him in, they caught on fire and burned up because it was too hot. But Ibrahim didn't burn, by the way. And they said, how are we going to get this guy into the fire? And they invented something right then called the catapult. And that is the thing which is like a long telephone pole, a long board, you know? And you put it like this, and you have an axle in there like this. And then they pull it down, 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 and then, huh?
The lever.
Yeah, like a lever, and it goes, shoo, and throw him into the fire, right? And know what happened? Even the people doing this got on fire. Even the people doing this caught on fire. It was too much fire. And then, pow! Now Ibrahim is inside the hottest, biggest fire ever on earth. Guess what? Allah said to the fire, O fire, be cool for Ibrahim. Be what?
Cool.
Cool. Didn't say cold. Otherwise he would be freezing in there. But he said be cool. So it was cool. And so Allah let him stay in there. Not just minutes, not just hours, days, days, days and nights. He stayed in the fire. And I'm sure, you know, Nimrod, he was probably going, we burned that guy up. We sure burned him up. Oh, everybody's like, ah. And then he came walking out and they went, oh, my, what's that? Whoa, he came walking out. What's that? Whoa. Now they know, uh-oh. One of the things Ibrahim did, he had a discussion with Nimrod. Nimrod was a bad king, really bad. He was telling people he was Allah. He told people, I'm the Rub, the Lord. And that's when Ibrahim said to him, you know, my Lord is the one who gives life and death. Nimrod said, I can give life and death. Check this out. And they brought some people. He said, kill those and let those live. Now, you see, I gave death and I gave life. What do you think about that? And they were like, oh my, you know, what kind of guy is this? Ibrahim said, my Lord is the one who makes the sun come up in the east. Why don't you make it come up in the west? And he can't. He can't do it. And in this way, Allah smashes these people. By the way, if you think about it, a human being saying that they have power, any human said, I have power, I have something, and they start acting like they have something of God in them, just ask them one question. Can you make one hair grow from your face while we watch? Go ahead. Go ahead. And they can't. One time I had an argument with an atheist in a university, and he was telling me, we're all like gods, really. I said, what? I thought you don't believe in God. He said, well, really, we're like gods. I can make things happen. I can do this. I can do so and so. I said, you can. Oh, well, aren't you something then? I said, well, let me ask you a question. Could you, like, eat a lot of food? He said, sure, I could. I said, could you go without a lot of food? So what do you mean? I said, well, we're Muslim. And that means in the month of Ramadan, we don't eat or drink, but just during the day. Could you go a whole month, night and day, no food and no drink? He said, no. I said, why? He said, I would die. I said, I thought you said you were like God. God doesn't need to eat. He doesn't need to drink, does he? He also doesn't need to sleep either. So when these people begin to tell you these things, you just stop and think. They're not God. In fact, no human being could be God. Because God needs nothing. Human beings need everything. And where do we get it from? From Allah. So anyway, Ibrahim, of course, has this argument with him. But now, as you can tell, things got pretty tough around there. And he decides he's going to leave. Allah inspired him to take his wife, his family, and leave and begin his migration, which is quite a story in itself. But by the way, before we leave this story, would you like to know what happened to Nimrod?
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of a funny story. You know what happened? Now, he's telling people, I'm the Lord, yeah? Remember? Big guy. Yeah, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. Allah took something teeny, tiny, so small. Like what? Like a mosquito or smaller. And it went in his ear, went down the eustachian tube, down, down. And when it got real close to the nose, it bit him. Now, this hurt so bad. Worse than an earache. Worse than a toothache. It was horrible. He was like, ah! And he's calling his doctors and his magic people, everybody around him. Help me, help me, help me. And they said, well, try this and try that. Nothing would work. And sacrifice to their gods and all this stuff. Nothing worked. Help, help, help. But they used to wear what kind of shoes? Wooden shoes. And they took a wooden shoe and pow! They hit him beside the head. When they hit him beside the head, it shook up everything in there, and the bug stopped biting him. And he was like, oh, thank you so much. I'm okay now. I'm okay. And then it bit him again. He was like, ah! And then, bam, it hit him upside the head again. And then he's like, oh. And it stopped for a minute. And then, bam, it came again. And the biting and the hitting and the biting and the hitting and the biting and the hitting. And that's why we, and it killed him. He died. Oh, yeah. And even today, we still say, quit bugging me. You're bugging me to death. You could laugh if you want to. That something small, something tiny like this, if that can destroy him, he's not God, is he? No, he shouldn't say that. But by the way, even today, we should think that something small that you can't see, that we know exists, that can be in the air. Like when you have germs, you don't see germs, do you? But they can be in the air and they can go in your nose or in your mouth, right? And you can get sick, can't you? So somebody could be real tough. Ha, 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 ha. I will do this. I will do that. He didn't say inshallah. He didn't say God willing, huh? But something real small Allah could put in him and he could be sick and even die. So we should be very careful about being proud in front of Allah. Well, anyway, Ibrahim, he started traveling. And after he traveled around, he went through Egypt, and when he was in Egypt, he got a gift from the king. what the gift was, that they gave him his next wife, which he had Sarah with him. Now he has his next wife, which is Hajar. And he has now these two wives, and they're traveling. And he became older and older and older. And after he was 90 years old, he started praying to Allah. Remember now, his father was probably about 70 when he had him. Now here he's 90, and he's saying, I don't have any kids at all, you know? So if I don't have any children, then what I'm teaching as far as belief in Allah, it's going to be lost. And I wish somebody would continue, and I wish I have somebody, maybe a servant boy or anybody who I could just... And he's asking Allah, you know, help me and get somebody who I can have for like a son. An old lady going to have a baby? But for Allah, he can do that easy. So he had a child. And the child that he had became known as what? Ismail. Ismail. And we have somebody with us today named Ismail too, huh? And in English we call him Ishmael. Ishmael. When Ismail began to grow, there was something that happened. Allah came and tested Ibrahim in a strange way. He let him have a vision of sacrificing his son. And this sacrifice was very serious to Ibrahim because he thought, well, maybe it's just that I need to take him to the place of worship in Mecca, because this was something in his mind too. But maybe Allah really wants me to sacrifice him. So he took his son, sacrificed him. His son said, is this from Allah? He said, yes it is. He said, then you'll find me patient. Go ahead. And he cooperated with him. And Ibrahim tried to pass the knife right across his son's neck, but Allah didn't let it cut. Even no cutting, nothing. And then Allah sent the ram. We talked about it before, you remember. But now here came this big sheep. Allah had him to sacrifice this instead of his son. And then he understood that he should sacrifice his son another way, which was to take his mother and him out to where? The desert of Mecca, and leave him by the ancient, ancient house of Allah, which is called the Kaaba, the first place of worship, the Kaaba in Mecca. And that's where he left him. Now, when he left him there, it was kind of strange in a way, because there they were. They had an animal skin full of water to drink and some things. And then all of a sudden, Ibrahim started walking away. Hajar, his wife, goes, hey, what's up with this? Where are you going? And he kept walking. Excuse me? Where are you going? Keeps walking. Ibrahim, hello? And he keeps going. And she says, is this from Allah? You see, they are smart. She's a prophet's wife. She understands. Is this from Allah? And he let her know, yeah. He gave a signal, yeah, and she understood. Okay, I'll be patient. Same as the son had said, I'll be patient. Because when something's from Allah, we have to learn how to be really patient. Well, anyway, the next thing that happened, Ibrahim got so far out of the city, and then he stopped where they couldn't see him, and he turned back and looked, and he made dua for them. He prayed. You know dua, supplication? And he prayed and asked Allah to protect them and to take care of them and give them water and give children and so and so and so. He made a lot of supplication. He left. And then what happened? Well, they ran out of water. There wasn't any more water. Now, the boy was thirsty, and he was very, very thirsty. Ismail, yeah. And what happened then? His mother realized, we got to do something. We're thirsty. We're really thirsty. Have you ever been really, really thirsty? So thirsty, so dry. It was worse than that. And so she went to one of the little mountains there called Safa. And she went on top of it and she looked. And look, is there anybody? Is there anything? A caravan, maybe some animals. Is there anything? Nothing, nothing. So she ran down and she went up to the other mountain. It's called Marwa. And she got up on top of that and she looked. Nothing. And back down again. Maybe something came while I was over on this mountain and she looked over there and no. And then back down on the other one, then back over here, and then back over there, and then back over here. And she kept doing that until 7 times. And she was really worried, you know, we need water. Allah, we need water, you know. And then what happened? Allah sent the angel. Angel who? Gabriel, alayhi salam, the archangel. And the angel came and made it so that the boy's heel, when it strikes the ground, what will happen? The water came out. You know this story? And the water started coming out, coming out, coming out, gushing out more and more and more and more and more and more. It started coming really fast, really fast, really fast. And she started pushing the dirt around, you know, to kind of dam it up. She says, we're going to have too much water all over. And in her language, remember she was from ancient Egypt, she said some word that means goodbye. What did she say?
Zam.
Zam. Zam. Zam. Zam. Zam. And what do we call it today?
Zam.
Zam. Zam. Zam. Go back, go back. Stay contained. And so, and that's the story of the well of Zamzam, and it's still there today. By the way, I've been there and I've seen it. Now, even today, and you imagine this is so many thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago. But even today, that water has never run out, and it keeps giving water so much for all the pilgrims who come, for all the people who live there. They use this water for everything. And it's not just normal, just H2O. No, it has minerals in it. So delicious. Assalamu
alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Now, after Ismail became older and some things started happening, one of the things, big thing that happened, was some of the Arabs had come and seen that there was something going on there, and they wanted to know, is there water? And they said, there's water there, and we need water. So as they approached, Hajar let them know they could get water, but they couldn't take over the place. And they agreed. They said, okay, that's cool. So they came, and they started watering their animals there and doing business there, trading there, and so on. Do you know who these people are? These are the people we talked about earlier. Remember the descendants from Shem or Sam. Remember that they had come to Hadramaut and Oman and to these areas down in there, Yemen, and so on. And now these are the same people, and they're speaking this dialect called Arabiya. And so it was that Ismail grew up with these people, and he learned to speak Arabic better than they did. He was perfect in his Arabiya. Can you say Arabiya?
Arabiya.
Arabiya. It has in the beginning of it. Can you say Arabiya?
Arabiya.
What is what's that letter?
Ayn.
Ayn. Ayn. But I'm from Texas, and I had to modify this a little bit. You know how? Because I have to learn how to say these letters. And I said, I can't do it. They said, say, it's in the back of the throat, behind the neck, and the tongue. And then one day, one of my friends was in Texas with me. He said, oh my God, I discovered here in Texas you have this letter, ein. I said, we do? He said, I heard you say it. I said, when? You said, I'm going to do it. I said, oh, you're right, we do have ein. He said, you also have the other letter we have, rein. I said, we do? He said, yeah, I'm going to do it. Okay, enough of that. Anyway, Ismail was very good with the language of the Arabiya. He was excellent at it. And you know, he got married and he had children. And those children had children, and there were more children and more children. Many people came. And then one day, Ismail's father, who's his father?
Ibrahim,
alayhi salam, peace be upon him, came to visit. But when he got there, well, he wasn't home, was he? It was gone. So he knocked at the door. And when the wife came to the door, what do you want? Said, is Ismail is here? No. Well, how are things? Terrible. We're having a hard time. Oh, okay. Well, tell him he needs to fix his doorstep. What? And he left. Now, when Ismail came back from his journey, his trip, hunting, whatever, he asked his wife, anybody come while I was away? She said, yeah, some old man came. I see. And did he say anything? Yeah, he said, you need to fix your doorstep. He said, that was my father, and he's telling me to get rid of you, so I divorce you. Now, why did he do that? You know why? Because she was very bad. And she dishonored his father very bad. And he understood the signal that his father gave him, because he too was a prophet. Well, then later, Ibrahim, alayhi salam, came back again. And this time again, he's not there. And he knocked at the door. You know what I'm doing? He knocked at the door. And the woman came, and she said, hello. Salaam alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. He said, is Ismail is here? She said, no, I'm sorry, he's not here. He said, well, how are things? She said, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Even though they were poor, even though they didn't have very much, even though there were difficulties, she said, alhamdulillah, praise to Allah. We have as Allah wills. He said, tell him to keep his doorstep. Huh? Keep his doorstep. Okay. So when he came back, did anybody come while I was gone? Yeah, this very nice old man, he came and he asked about you. And then he told me to tell you to keep the doorstep. He said, that was my father. And he told me to keep you as my wife. And why? Why? Because she had really good way about her, a good attitude, and she respected his father. And she was also thankful to Allah. And this is the best kind of wife to have, to be obedient and to be good and to be thankful to Allah. So we get a very good lesson from this one. There are a lot of prophets that came after Abraham, and one of them was Ishaq, and then he, of course, had his son, which was Jacob, and Jacob had... There's so many stories of so many different prophets.
Please tell us the story of Yusuf.
Okay, I agree. Let's skip right to it. It's my favorite story. When I came into Islam, they told me, you know, you can choose a new name. You don't have to stay with the old name you have. You can choose one. I said, any name I like. I like Joseph. They said, well, you'd like to know how to say Joseph in Arabic? I said, sure, Yusuf. And so that's how I got the name Yusuf. My father's name Joseph, and I love my father, and I always liked his name. And they said, well, this is fine. And I took the name Yusuf. You want to hear something funny? I didn't know my father was going to become a Muslim later. So when he became a Muslim, he was Yusuf. So it was Yusuf and Yusuf. And they said, no. So he's Abu Yusuf. Yusuf Abu Yusuf, and you're Yusuf Ibn Yusuf.
And you're the Yusuf.
It got confusing. Anyway, let's talk about the Prophet Yusuf.
Alayhi salam.
Peace be upon him. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. Yes, what happened, you see, his father was Jacob. Jacob was also a prophet. And he had sons, many sons. Two of his sons are very, very famous. And that's Benjamin, or Benjamin, and Yusuf. And that's the one we're going to talk about today. He also had Levi, he had Dan, he had Judah, some others. But the one that we want to really feature is this story, the story which is mentioned in Quran in detail, and also in previous scriptures also in detail. And it starts out something like this. It starts with a dream. You see, Yusuf was very young, and he had a dream. Allah gave him this dream. And when he woke up, it was like the sun everywhere, and he was all excited. And he went to his father, and he said, Father, I've had a dream. So what was your dream? He said, I saw 11 stars, and the sun, and the moon, all bowing down to me. And by the way, he had 11 brothers. And he said, I saw 11 stars, and the sun and the moon all bowing down to me. Right away his father Jacob, or Yaqub in Arabic, realized this is a prophet. Because one prophet knows another prophet. He said, my son Yusuf is a prophet. And he was very happy. And he realized, by the way, don't tell your brothers. Do not talk about this to your brothers because they will be jealous and we don't need that. So you just be cool about this, okay? So he was. And everything rocked on pretty good. And then when he got to be about 18 years old, at that time his dad was making sure that he and his brother Benjamin both were working around the house doing garden things, not going out with the animals, not getting too far away. Because he really worried what those older brothers might do to his two younger brothers. These, which was Benjamin, which was a big favorite of Jacob, and Yusuf, another favorite. So one day, the older brothers, who were very jealous anyway, and they didn't even know about the story, they didn't know the dream, but they were still jealous, and they said, we got to figure some way to get Yusuf out of the house. Let's get him out with us somehow. They said, how? He's never going to let him go. So just tell him to come on, let him go with us, and, you know, we'll take care of him. And then when we get him out, we'll kill him. And another one said, no, we don't kill him, but let's just leave him somewhere in the wilderness. And one said, okay, I got an idea. We'll put him in a well. Just leave him in a well. So that's the plan they had. And then they went to the father. Father, let Yusuf go with us. We need him to help us out there, and he will get some benefit from this. He never had a chance to go be with the animals, enjoy the day, the fresh air, so and so. And the father said, no, I fear that something could happen. Oh, we guarantee war, they swearing. You know, we'll never let anything happen to Yusuf. Oh, no way, this is our brother. Well, come on. And they just talked their father into it, and they took Yusuf out. And they were ready. And when they got him out, they didn't just take him out there to work. They took him out for what they said they were going to do. No, they didn't kill him. But sure enough, they found a deep well. And it was on a caravan route. They knew some people would pass by. So they put him down in the well. Down, down, down. And left him there with no rope, no way to get out. And they left him. But they took his shirt. And when they took the shirt, they put some blood on the shirt from a sheep or something, you know. Put the blood on it. And when they went back to the father, Father. Oh, you can't believe what happened. Father already knew something's wrong. Where's Yusuf? Oh, you don't believe. And it's the wolf, and it came, and it... Where's Yusuf? And even when we tell you, you're not going to believe us. Where's Yusuf? Got the wolf in the shirt and the blood and the... Where's Yusuf? The wolf ate him. Did you see it? No, we didn't see it. You know, look, Ascension. Oh, we're so sorry. They weren't sorry. Jacob, Yaakov, peace be upon him, started crying. And he was crying and weeping. And they were saying, oh, Father, you know, we are so sorry, but, you know, and nothing. No, stay away from me. Just leave me. And he cried. And he cried so much. And he didn't stop crying for years. In the meantime, what happened to Yusuf? Well, sure enough, just like they said, a caravan passed by. And guess what? More than likely, these were relatives, ancient relatives, because they were coming up from their very area we talked about before, down in Hadramaut, Yemen, down that way, from Arabia. Anyway, they came across this area, which was in around Jerusalem, Palestine, somewhere in there. And the people went to the well. They looked down. Oh, maybe some water down there. So they said, throw a bucket down and see if we get some water. Tied a rope on the bucket, and they threw it down. Yusuf was startled because he said, what is this coming down at me? And he caught it. He caught the bucket. People were listening. Where's the water? Did you hear a splash? No. They pull it. Somebody pulled back. Hey, what's going on? So they started going down there. Ah, we found the treasure. We have a treasure. They said, what's the treasure? Gold? No, better. We found a boy. We got a boy. You know what it means? We can sell him as a slave. So they made him a slave. They took him out of the well and took him on into Egypt with them. Oh, yeah, what a good deal this is. And when they got into Egypt, they took him to the slave market. Now, the slave market is where they used to bring people up on the stage, and they'd say, who'll give so much for this one? And who'll give so much for this one? And here's a boy over here, a young boy. Only got one leg, but hey, maybe he can jump around and do stuff. We'll make it half price. You know, they were making deals. And they'd bring one after the other after the other. And then they brought Yusuf up. By the way, Yusuf was very good looking. Very handsome, you know? And they brought him up there, chains and irons on him. And they had these chains on him ever since he left the well. And his legs are swelling and it's, a lot of, you know, pain from all this iron and stuff on him. And he got up on this day and they said, who'll give 10 dinars? 10 dinars? 5 dinars? Some dinars? Get this guy out of here. And Aziz said, I will. And somebody bid, I will. Cheap price, he bought him. And he took him home. He said, he's young, he's strong, he might do some work. But I got to be careful of these guys. You never know, you know. Slaves are, you know, dangerous. But right away, Yusuf told him, I'm very thankful that you bought me, and I will do my best to serve you. So, Aziz took off the leg irons, the chains, everything. And he said, thank you so much. And he promised to be loyal to him and do anything he asked. Well, that's good. I need a houseboy around here. Take care of my house, do stuff around here. So that was the job for Yusuf. The wife of Aziz Anybody know her name?
Zuleika.
Zuleika. Yeah, very good. You guys are too smart. The wife of Aziz, Zuleika, she saw him and she said, "Whoa, look at this guy. He's cute. Whoa." And he was very handsome. And he started working around the house and she was like, And every day he's working, doing this, doing that. And she'd be like, Probably Aziz, maybe he was like old and she was young, but she was like, "Check out this guy." So guess what happened? One day she couldn't take it anymore. She wanted to hold him, hug him, you know? So she went for him and he was a very good boy. He's a prophet and they don't do stuff like that. So he started running around the house and she was chasing after him and he was running and she was going, "I gotta get out of here." And just as they got to the door, she grabbed his shirt, ripped his shirt just like that, and the door opened. Guess who was standing there? Gulp. Yep. The boss. And right then she changed her voice to, you know, she was going, "Come here, come here." And she went, "Hey, this man, he tried to do something to me. Oh, he's trying to, look, see, I had to rip his shirt to keep him away." Oh, Aziz said, "What is going on here? Take this man." Of course, they took him right away. And he was upset. "Why? How dare this man? And I'm away and he's doing, trying to do something with my wife?" But then his cousin, Aziz had a cousin. His cousin is a fair man, a just man. He said, "Hold on a second. Come here, Aziz. Check this out. Look. You want to know the truth? Think about this. Let us look at the shirt. Because if the shirt is ripped from the front, she's telling the truth because she was defending herself and she ripped the shirt. But if the shirt is ripped from the back," Aziz said, "then what?" He said, "She's telling a lie." And he was running away. And she grabbed his shirt. And that's what happened. So they passed the shirt around, you know, and everybody was looking at it right in front of her. She was going, And they said, "It's the back. It's the back of the shirt. It's not the front." Aziz was really upset. "What is going on?" He got Yusuf and he said, "Listen, we got a problem here. What's up with this?" He said, "You know, what's the truth?" But that night, Zuleika told Aziz, "Look, you know, this boy is too much for me. I'm sorry, you know, but he's like putting a spell in my brain or something. I don't know what happened, but you know what? We got to save our honor and dignity. And really, you know what? You need to lock him up in prison. Because this story is going to get out all over the place. And people are going to be saying something, you know? And if you don't lock him up, then they're going to say something about me, something about our family. How is it going to look?" "Yeah, that's a point," he said. "I had to make a decision about this." In the meantime, the women of the town heard the story and they were going, "Oh, Zuleika is a bad girl. She is chasing the boy around the house that works there." And they were making fun and ha ha ha. Zuleika didn't like that. She thought about it. She's pretty sneaky, by the way. I got an idea. So she invited all the ladies to come over for like a tea, you know. Come over, have a spot of tea. Yeah? And everybody came over. And she's going to serve things for them to eat and so. And she served fruit and gave each one a very sharp knife to cut the fruit. And she said, "Now cut the fruit." And just as they're going to cut the fruit, she called Yusuf. "Yusuf, come in, please." And when he came in the room, they saw him and they went, and cut their hands. All of them cut their hands because they were not paying attention to the fruit. They went, "Whoa, no." She said, "See, I told you this guy is like, I don't know, a charm man. He's like, whoa, very handsome. In fact, people said he had the most beautiful face of any man that ever lived." So Aziz said, "Much as I hate to do it, in the interest of the preservation of my good name and my stature in the community, it's necessary for me to make the decision to do what? I'm putting Yusuf in prison." Do you know how to say prison in Arabic? Sijin. Sijin. Can you say sijin?
Sijin.
Sijin. Yep, they put him in the sijin. when he got in the Sijin. But Yusuf believed in Allah, and he was always thankful to Allah. You'll notice how patient he was. When he was thrown into the well, he didn't give up on Allah. When they sold him into slavery and put the chains on him, he didn't give up on Allah. Even when the man bought him, he still was patient. He was being nice, pleasant, and trusting Allah. The lady did this thing, and he still trusts Allah. Even at one point, by the way, whenever she was trying to chase him, you know what he told her? He said, what you're calling me to, what you're calling me to is worse than prison for me. I'd rather go to prison than do what you want to do. And he didn't mind to go to prison because he knows that Allah will be happy with him if he stays away from bad things. And he stayed away from a very bad thing. In the prison, though, and it was a long time, he used to tell people about Allah. He used to tell people there's only one God to worship, and that's it. Well, it's a prison. A couple of guys came to him one day and said, I had a dream last night. The other one said, yeah, me too. He said, oh, really? He said, tell me your dream. He said, well, I had a dream, you know, that some birds made a nest on my head, and they were eating out of my head. What is that? And the other one said, I also had a dream. So what was your dream? He said, I saw myself serving a cup or something like this for the king. He said, the first dream, this is, by the way, he was a robber, a thief. He said, they're going to execute you. You're going to die, and the birds are going to eat your brains out of your head after you're dead. Ugh. The other one, he said, you're going to be excused, taken out of prison. You're going to be serving the king. He said, really? He said, but now when you go to the king, be sure and tell him about me. Remind him of me, and I'm sitting here. Sure, yeah, right, whatever. Sure enough, they came and they took the one guy, killed him, and the birds ate his brains. The other one, they turned him loose, and sure enough, he was taking care of the king, serving him, doing stuff like this. But he forgot. Some say Shaitan made him forget. But anyway, he forgot all about Yusuf. Until one day, the king himself, he started talking about a dream he had, a dream that kept him awake. And he was frustrated, and he was distraught, and he was like, oh, I have this dream. Call my magicians, call my advisors, get people in here. I want to tell you about my dream. He said, okay. They came to the king. What's your dream? He said, I don't understand. In my dream, there were seven cows. There are two kinds of cows. Seven were very fat. Seven were very skinny. But the seven skinny ones ate the seven fat ones. And there were seven grains, or, you know, like corn or something like this. And there were seven bad, you know, the thing that seven ate that. And he said, it's confusing to me. I don't understand it. I need somebody to tell me, and I can't sleep. I keep thinking of the same thing, same thing. Well, the magician said, well, I don't know. And he said, well, you're the soothsayer. You're the dream teller. Tell me. He said, these dreams, you know, maybe you should take an aspirin and go to bed. You know, I don't know. They were all trying to excuse themselves because they didn't really know. They're not prophets. And then the cupbearer, the guy who takes care of the king, said, oh, yeah, when I was in prison, I met this guy who was a prophet or something. Maybe he can tell you. He told me about my dream. He said, who is it? He said, his name is Yusuf. Go get him. Tell him to come here and interpret my dream. But when they went to Yusuf, he said, I'm not going to go. Until they prove that I'm innocent, I didn't do anything. Then I'll go. So they went back. When they heard this story, they went to Aziz. And they said, Aziz, what's up with this story? And he brought his wife, Zuleika. And she had to testify, yes, he's innocent. It was me. And when that happened, Yusuf came out. They let him out and said, excuse us, you're free. So, till next time, I give you guys the greeting. You give it back to me. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. We've been talking about the different prophets and their lives ever since the time of Adam. Now, let's continue. When prophet Yusuf got out, they brought him to the king, and the king started telling him about this dream. He listened carefully, and then he said, this is to tell you that there's going to be 7 years of fertile soil here in this area. And this was on the Nile River, which is in Egypt. And that's where they were. He said, there's going to be 7 years of fertile soil. You're going to have so much crops, but then there'll be 7 bad years to eat it all up. That's the sign of what you saw. Oh. He said, but if it's managed properly, then if you take advantage of all of the crops that you get in the good 7 years, you'll be able to sustain yourself and do well through the bad 7 years, if you're careful. King said, where will we find such a person who could take, you know, good care of this? He has to be noble, has to be honest, somebody that's tested and found to be true. Yusuf, we know that. Look how he tested out, and he's true. So, you're it. You became now the controller of the treasury for all the land, for all of Egypt. Yusuf accepted the job and became the minister of the money. Not a bad job for a guy who was in prison yesterday. And guess what happened? Just like the dream, because Allah gave the king the dream, didn't he? Just like the dream, what happened? They had 7 fantastic years, and Yusuf was careful. He said, take some of that and put it aside over here. Take this and put it over there. You can sell that, but keep this. And he was very careful, and all that time managing and keeping up with the numbers and watching. 7 years he took care to make sure there were plenty of reserve resources, so when the 7 bad years came, that they'd be able to stay alive and sustain themselves. Well, then the 7 bad years came. The river was more dry than ever. They had very little growing crops at all. Animals were getting skinny. Crops were in short supply and big demand. People started coming from all over because they heard about what? The stores that they had. When we say stores, by the way, we don't mean like a shopping mall. We mean storage, places where they kept stuff. And they come and they said, could we get some grain? Well, we could, but you have to give us money. Okay. And they traded gold, silver. By the way, it's a good lesson for Muslims to learn to always save a little bit, huh? Out of everything you do, save a little bit. The successful people even today know this rule. Always save a little bit and don't waste it. Keep it, keep it, keep it. So anyway, over that period of time, during that 7 years, many people came from many lands. Far, far away. Even all the way back home to where? Where Yusuf came from. Jacob and his sons also experienced this drought where they were. And somebody told them, you know, if you go to Egypt, if you go to Mesr, can you say Mesr?
Mesr!
That's the real name of Egypt, you know, Mesr. If you'll go there, you're going to find a place that has lots and lots and lots of goodies. Go and stock up over there. But take a caravan, take stuff with you to trade. If you got gold, if you got silver or animal skins, take stuff with you and go trade those guys over there. So they took off. And when they went on the caravan, as they went along, one of the things they wanted to do, they wanted to take Benjamin with them. Huh? Jacob said, no. You've already taken one of my sons and never brought him back. They said, no, 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 it was a wolf. He said, never mind, I've heard your story forever. And he said, I'm still crying today for him. I'm keeping this boy with me. Now go. They went. And when they got there, the oldest of the brothers, of course, has to do the speaking. He goes in and he starts saying, oh, yes, we're from so-and-so, and we would like to meet with whoever's in charge. And so it became that Yusuf knew, oh, there's some people coming from the Holy Land, from Jerusalem, from Palestine. Uh-huh. And it's who? The sons of who? Yaqub, Jacob, peace be upon him. Yes! Send them in! Send them in! Now when they came in, they didn't recognize their own brother. They had no idea it was him. But he recognized them, and his voice went like this. Because he wanted to say something to him, but he knew he can't. I got to cool it. And he sat on his, he had a big chair, you know, he's an important man, you know, he's sitting up high. Yes. And because of his stature and his job, you know, who he was, they're not allowed to just look at him and go, hey, what's up, man? They have to look down and say, without looking at him, sir, we have come a long way, on a long journey, and we brought with us many goods to trade for the grains and things we need, blah, 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 blah. They're telling their story, you know? And he's like, those are my brothers, man. Wow. But I don't want to tip my hand yet. I don't want to let them know because I want to find out. I see. We'll stay. Perhaps we'll eat. So he's going to feed them, take care of them, you know, and let's see, you know, what we can work out. And they get to know you, you know. And while he's talking with him, he says, by the way, are you the only brothers? They said, no, we have another brother named Benjamin. I see, see. And what about this Benjamin? How is he? Is he all right? Well, yeah, he stays with our father. Our father, you know, he's messed up, you know. I said, why? Oh, he cries all the time. You know, we had another brother, but, you know, the wolf got him, and, you know. So father's been all messed up ever since. Oh, really? So the wolf got your brother, huh? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we had a bloody shirt, took it back. It's not important. No, go ahead, tell me about it. Anyhow, so can we make a deal for this grain? We want to do some trading and get on our way. He said, all right, yes, why not? This is a very good idea. It would be nice, you know, if you would bring your brother the next time, come back, and we can do some more trading. How will that be? Yeah, oh, sure, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll bring him back. No problem, that'll be fine. That'll be great. He said, well, go get him then and bring him back. Okay. So they traded. They gave gold, they gave this, they gave that. You know, whatever they had. And they filled up the bags and the saddles of all of the animals, and away they went. Now, what they didn't know was that Yusuf had one of his workers go put all of their money back in the bag. Give them all their money back. So when they got home, they were telling their father, hey, man, there's this real cool dude, you know, he was nice and everything, and he wants us to come back, we're going to trade again, and he wants us to take Benjamin with us, okay? Father said, no, you're not taking him anywhere. You just leave him alone. He said, no, but we promised. We said, well, Lord, we have to do it. He said, I don't care what you said. And they started opening the bags up, and they said, uh-oh, all the money's here. He gave us back all the money. Well, what does this mean? This is something serious. I guess he wants us to come back for sure. Otherwise, why would he give us all the money back? Hope he doesn't think we stole it. Wow. Why do we... So they kept promising their father, well, Lord, we'll protect him, we'll protect him, we'll take care of him. Don't worry, just let us take him. He said, no, no, I know what's going to happen. He said, trust us. He said, I did before, and I'm still crying today. He said, don't worry about it. So finally they convinced him, and they took Benjamin, and away they went. And when they got there this time, they came in, and again, your lordship, like this way, praying, and he said, okay, sit down, what do you got going on, let's eat again, blah, blah, blah. And they're all together. And when the men left, they left Benjamin there, and they went to sleep. And then what happened? He told him, do you know who I am? He said, yes, you're an honorable man, a dignified man, a wonderful man. He said, and I'm your brother. He said, and you're my brother, huh? I'm your brother. I'm your brother, Yusuf. Oh, my God! And they started crying, and they were holding each other, and it's like, too much, man! And they're like hugging and everything and jumping up and down, you know? And he said, but be cool, because I don't want them to know. He said, really? Yeah, he says, yeah, you know, they're kind of weird. Yeah, so be cool. He said, okay. He said, we're going to do something to them. Okay, cool. And then the guys come back in, he said, okay, guys, well, you know, go ahead and go and have a good life and everything. And so they loaded up their bags again and took everything, and away they went. And just as they got to the gate, it was locked. And they couldn't get out. Thief! Thief! Someone has stolen! Someone has stolen! And everything stopped, and everybody was ringing a gong, bang, bang, all this. And they said, somebody has stolen the king's golden cup. And who do you think it might be? Whoa. Now, you know what? This is a pretty good story, isn't it? This means that people will have to come back to find out the rest of this story, won't they? Because we're going to take a break. I like it when people come back, and this is what they call a cliffhanger. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay, now, let's continue. Let us continue now and see what happened. Now, you remember in the story we were talking about what happened, that Benjamin had just discovered that Yusuf is his brother. And they were so excited, they were so happy. But then he told them, don't tell, don't let on, and see what happens. And let them take their caravan and go back with all the goods, with all the things that they bought. And they were leaving, and Benjamin with them. But when they got to the gate, somebody hollered, thief, thief, somebody has stolen, somebody has stolen. And they come running out, what's going on, what's going on? Somebody stole the golden chalice, the cup of the king. They said, we're not us. We're not thieves. We're honorable people. We're the sons of a prophet, Prophet Jacob. We wouldn't do that. I said, well, okay, no problem. But just in case you did, what is the punishment according to your scripture from your religion? Because remember, these are Egyptians. Those people, they were not Muslims. They were not followers of the religion of Jacob and Abraham and Adam. So they said, well, I guess the punishment would be that, well, the person would go to prison. Whoever steals would go to prison. They said, so be it. Then that will be the case. They opened the first saddlebag and they looked. There was nothing in it. They opened the next saddlebag of the next animal and they looked. Nothing. Next, next, next. Number 9, oh, no problem. Number 10, no problem. Number 11 is the one for Benjamin. When they opened number 10 and they looked in, the brothers looked at each other and went, whew, we're okay. Because they know Benjamin wouldn't take anything. And they were like, ah, okay, good to go. Open the other one and we're ready to go. They opened it up. There it was. There was the golden cup and Benjamin's saddlebag. Oh, boy. So they grabbed him right away and took him into Aziz. They took him in, even to the king. They said, this is the thief. Now, in the meantime, the brothers are going, okay, okay, hold on, hold on, hold on. He's not a thief. We don't know how this happened. He's not a thief. We're honorable people. Look, we were here before. We did business. You guys are so great. They said, yeah, we gave you your money back, and look what you did to us. You just stole. No, 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 you don't understand. Now, here's another problem. They realize when they get back home what's going to happen. Jacob is going to have a heart attack. He is going to go crackers, isn't he? He's not going to be able to take it. But what are they going to do? So one of them said, okay, okay, take me instead. Just I'll stay here. Take the boy, let him go back, and I'll go to the prison. So we can sort the matters out. They said, not really, we can't do that. Because whoever did it is the one who has to pay. It's not fair to put you in. Who does a sin has to pay for the sin. And by the way, that's Islam too, isn't it? Whoever does a sin pays, and Allah doesn't make anybody pay for somebody else's sins, ever. Well, the next thing that happens is they go back. They go back to their father, and right away, the father suspects what's going on. He's a prophet. He knows, you know? And he's saying, all right, I've lost one son, and now I've lost another. And he burst into tears. And this time he wept so much, he couldn't see anymore. He was almost like a blind man. He was crying and crying and couldn't see that. He'd take him around. He said, you have done it again. And I said, but father, it's not our fault. He said, you always have some excuse. First they come in about the wolf, and now you're telling me about stealing something, and you know I didn't steal it. It's you guys. You're too jealous. You just don't understand. He was very upset. Very upset. But they said, father, all we got to do is just come back with us. Just go back with us. And we can talk and see what we can do. Now here's what happened. They went back again. And they're going to really plead and beg and give any kind of a money, whatever it takes. Please, you know, this is their idea. They went all the way back again. They went back to Yusuf. They went back to the king and everybody. And they said, guys, listen. Please, our father is dying. He's going crazy. He's going blind. He can't take it. We will pay any ransom. Give us back our brother. He didn't take it, but even so, we'll give you what you want. And they were begging. Now, Yusuf was right there, looking at them, crying like that. Good payback, huh? Remember, these are the same guys that threw him in the well. These are the same guys who left him for dead. These are the same brothers. And now he can watch them crying. But you know what? He said, no, listen, I don't want to see him like this. Because why? He's a prophet. He has a soft heart. You know what he did? He said, guys, look at me. And then he spoke to them in their own language. Because up to now, they've been speaking in Egyptian language. They had to have translation and everything. In their own language, he said something to them, and they said, huh? He said, who do you think I am? Are you not missing a brother? They went, it's you. It's you. He said, not you, yourself. And they all started hugging, and they were going, oh my God, it's Yusuf, it's Yusuf. And some of them said, oops, is he mad at us? No, I'm not mad at you guys. What about Benjamin? He's right here behind the throne. And he came out, and they're all, you know, happy, and everybody is just so tickled because, And he explained to them what had happened, told them what he had done, and he reminded them, of course, they knew what they did too, right? And they apologized, and they said, they're not going to do these kind of things anymore. They're going to be good. Everybody's going to be happy. Now, in those days, the land began to again come up with the fruits and the grains from the earth, and Allah blessed the land with water. And the rain came, and the river came up again, and things were well in the land of Egypt. So at that time, they decided to send for their father, and they went back and they brought their father this time. They brought him out. But before they did, I didn't see what happened. This part, I don't want to leave this out of the story. It's so nice. When they were coming back, they had Yusuf's shirt with them. The real shirt of Yusuf. They had it with them. Because Yusuf didn't go back to see his father. He wanted them to bring the father back to him. And when they came back with the shirt, look, the old man is blind almost from crying. And he went, it's a good day today. They said, why? He said, I smell the shirt of Yusuf. Now the wives of his sons are hearing him say that. They're going, huh? I smell Yusuf's shirt. Okay, he really lost it. Bye-bye. He's cuckoo because, you know, he's smelling shirts now, you know. And oh, he's coming. Yusuf is okay. I smell his shirt. And they're going, And then they came. The brothers came. And when they came, and he saw the shirt, and he felt it, and he started crying again, only this time out of happiness. And he got his sight back, he could see again. And then they took him back into Egypt with them, and they all lived there. And that's a very good thing, that they lived there like that, until it came time for him to die. Now, when Yaqub, was time for him to die, he wants to be buried with his, of course, forefathers. And remember that his grandfather is Abraham. Because he's from Isaac, and that's from Abraham. And I want to be buried there. So that's what they did. And then when Yusuf became very old, and it was time for him to die, he left some good instructions for the people. And he said, remember, always worship Allah. The same thing his father said before he died. When I die, his father had said to the brothers, who will you worship? They said, Allah, and only Allah. The God of our father and our forefathers before him, of Jacob, of Isaac, of Abraham, and Adam. Allah only will we worship. And that's when Jacob passed and died. Yusuf, too, wanted to be buried with his father. So when he died, they embalmed his body and held it there in Egypt for a period of time. Then they shipped it back into the area where he was originally from in Palestine, and that's where he is buried today. When I first read this story, it's in the Bible too, by the way. I'm reading it to you from the Quran, but the story is very similar in the book of Genesis. I think it's in chapters, if I'm not wrong, it's in starting around chapter 29, 30, something like that, in Genesis, and runs to about 36, something like that. It's quite a few chapters in the book of Genesis telling this story of Yusuf and his brothers and Jacob and so on. One of the things that the questions that came in my mind that I thought about was, that how would it be that anybody could forgive their brothers after what they had done to him? Because for sure, if somebody dropped me in a well and went off and left me to die, and I spent all these years as a slave, as a prisoner, as an Egyptian working somewhere, I mean, you know, and they did that to me, how am I going to forgive them? How? But yet he did it. He just did it. Do you know how? Well, because Islam teaches us, no matter what other people do to you, you don't have to do that to them. And the best thing you can do is forgive. Because when you can forgive other people, then Allah, He can forgive you too. Is that right? I said at the end of the program, I want to tell you something, but you have to ask me. You remember that? Okay. Well, here's what happened. When I came to Islam, they said, you can choose any name you like. And I said, oh, I like maybe so, so, so. I said, what about Joseph? My father's name is Joseph. I always liked this name, Joseph.
So. You said this.
Yeah, but wait a minute. See what happened. And they said, Yusuf had such a beautiful face. Why don't you take the name of Yusuf? And I said, maybe that'll make my face become beautiful. They said, yes, take the name of Yusuf. You'll be like Yusuf. Take the name of Yusuf. You can be like Yusuf. Take the name of Yusuf, and you can be like Yusuf. So I took the name. Did I get a beautiful face? But I did get to go to prison. Because I became a prison chaplain for the Muslims in the United States. I became the National Muslim Prison Chaplain. And I used to visit the prisons all over the United States and see the Muslims and go to them and tell them about Islam and share the Quran and stories just like Yusuf. And one of the favorite stories of the prisoners in the jails in the United States, they love to read the story about Yusuf. The Muslims there, they love this story because it helps them to deal with their problem and helps them to learn how to be better Muslims and helps them to deal with some of the subjects that come up and help us to be patient because he was very, very patient, wasn't he? Yeah. You know, at the end of the story, there's something amazing here. If you'll notice, in the beginning of the story was that he said he saw seven stars bow down to him. Don't forget when they came in to get the grain. When they came in the grain, yeah, didn't they all bow down?
Yes.
Yes, they did. All seven of them.
And the father and the mother.
And the father, yep, the whole family. And there you have the sun, the moon, and of course the stars, which is his brothers. Everybody bowed down to him. But that was a sign from Allah too. Allah gives signs to us sometimes, even today, even we're not prophets. Sometimes Allah gives dreams to people to help guide them. And I've seen people who are guided to Islam after they got a good dream from Allah too. That's the story of the real Yusuf that I'm named after today. And I'm glad that we had a chance to tell this story. I've really enjoyed sharing that with you. So till next time, I give you guys the greeting. You give it back to me. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum
as-salam. Alhamdulillah, when we think about the stories of the prophets, we learn so many lessons from them, and we can see how problems come about, and we can see how to solve them. I never imagined, really, when I was young like you guys, I didn't know that we would learn so much from these prophets. I didn't even know how many prophets there were. There's so many, you know. We've been talking a lot about the different prophets that are famous, that all of us know about. We've talked about Adam, we've talked about Abraham, Moses, we've talked about Muhammad, peace be upon all of them. Do you know the stories about the prophets who came to the people that carved their homes out of the rock? Have you seen any of the pictures in Jordan and places like that? They're still there. In fact, some of the recent movies they made, they use that. They actually use some of these. And these people carved the buildings in the rock, so you still see it. It has the pillars are there, the big openings are there, the very lovely decorations are still there. Thousands of years after the people are gone, and there's nobody can live there anymore. But Allah used to give them provision, then they could live there. But they wouldn't say thank you to Allah, and this is what happened to them. And it happens over and over and over, generation after generation. There's always people who come. They take what Allah gives them, but they won't say thank you to Allah. And then there are going to be some who will warn them and tell them, just like we're talking about today. Now, at the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it happened that there were some companions of his that were traveling with him in the same area where thousands of years before the people of Ad and Thamud and Aras had lived. So as they were traveling, some of the companions, they got this well, and they took water from a well, and they were going to drink the water, and they were making dough. You know how to make dough with flour and everything, and they were making it up and everything. When Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, found out, he said, stop! Don't drink that water! He said, what? What's that? He said, don't drink it. Throw it out. Now imagine you're in a desert. It's hot. Your throat is dry. I need some water, right? It's not easy to throw water away in that condition. But they did. They obeyed their prophet. This is a good thing about the Companions of Muhammad system. They obeyed their prophet. They threw the water. What about the dough? He said, give it to the camels. Don't eat the dough either. Just keep moving. We have to keep going, keep going. So they kept going, kept going. He said, now stop. There's another well here. Drink from this well. And then they came to learn a lesson. He said, the first well was the well of what? These people of Arras. So there's no barakah, no blessings here at all. The one that they went to next was another well that we talked about before. In which well it was? The well for the camel of Allah. So that's where they got the water from. And the Prophet ﷺ explained about that and told them and the difference between the one which was cursed and the one which has the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, anyhow, so I want to come back now talking about how people abused their Prophet so much and what they did and even killed them. In the books before the Quran, it talks about this too. They say in their own books, these same people who did it, recorded it, and said, we killed our prophets. It's still there today. Even the translations in English, it says, their prophets came and they killed them. Their prophets came and they abused them. Some of their prophets had to live away from the people. They couldn't even live by them because they would be abused. They would have to have somebody would come to them and tell them, and he said, go give them a message on what Allah said, and he would have to send them. Because these people are abusive, very mean. One time Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was standing in front of the Kaaba. You know what's the Kaaba? The big, 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 huge, looks like a square box, a black box, in the Haram, in Mecca. And they were standing there, and one of the companions, he was complaining. Because some of those people, at the time of Muhammad, the Mushrikeen, they used to worship idols and statues, you know. Some of them were abusing the companions. Some of them were abusing Muhammad. One time, look at what happened. One time, they came and they beat up Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And they beat up Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. They beat them and beat them and beat them until Abu Bakr's head got hit and he was laying, and it looks like he's dead. They carried him back to his mother's house and laid him there. And he was just like somebody, like this. When he woke up, and they said, are you okay, are you okay? They're talking to him like this, right? You know what the first thing he said? How is Prophet Muhammad? They said, he's okay, he's okay. No, no, how is Prophet Muhammad? He said, he's okay. No, I have to see him. No, but you're sick. I mean, you know, you can't even move. He said, drag me. They had to drag him over to see Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, at his place to make sure he's okay. You see, he's alive, he's okay. That's the only time he's going to be happy, see? This is real dedication to the Prophet ﷺ. Anyway, some people were complaining, some companions started complaining when they were standing right by the Kaaba. Look at these guys, what they're doing to us. Make some dua, ask Allah, supplicate to Allah, and just say, Allah, give us help, Allah, support us. But the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he didn't do it. You know what he did? He told the companion, he said, didn't you know that every single prophet who ever came with this message had to suffer? Every prophet who came with this message had to suffer. And all of them suffered, and I have suffered the most. And it's true, he had. He had been beaten, he had been hurt, he had been injured. And they lied about him. And that's another kind of abuse, people lying against you and people, you know, saying things about you that are not true. And so, this abuse goes on and on. And now watch what happens. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he went to some people. If you go out of Mecca, there's a place called Arafat, very famous. And you go past Arafat on the same highway, you keep going, it goes up in the mountains. And when you get up in these mountains, it's nothing but rocks. It's just rocks, it's not trees, not grass, it's rocks and rocks and rocks and rocks, mountains of rocks, that's what it is. And when he went there, because he knew their tribes of some of the Arabs there were distant relatives, and he wanted to tell them about Islam, and he was hoping they would listen. He was hoping they would support him so that they would have more people to go in and tell other people about Islam. But these people were so rude. They were so mean that they wouldn't even acknowledge that he was there. And normally, the Arab custom is that when anybody comes to you, they have 3 days and 3 nights. You don't ask any question. You just take care of them. You give them food. You give them drink. You let them stay there. You give them what do they need. Whatever they need, you take care of them. That's Arab custom. They wouldn't even do that. And they knew he came to speak to the leaders of the tribe. The leader said, why should we talk to him? He claims he's a prophet. If we talk to him and he's not a prophet, we wasted our time talking to a crazy man. And they said, well, what if he is a prophet? Said, well, if he is a prophet and we just called him crazy man, that wouldn't be very good either. So either way, we won't talk to him. They were trying to be smart, make a joke out of it. And then they told the people of the street, you know how you have people who just like live in the street and stuff? And they told these, like children and that, they told him, just get stones and throw these stones on him. And they started throwing rocks and stones on him and his companion and drove them out of the city. And as they were running, they had to run away because people were throwing stones on them, you know. This is not a nice way to greet a visitor, is it? A guest comes to you and you throw stones on him. I don't think this is very nice, is it? And they're throwing these stones until blood is running from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and it's filling up his shoes. He used to wear like sandals, you know, like you have there. And so this is a horrible thing, horrible, to treat somebody like this. And in this condition, with this blood coming out of him, he was standing right by his companion. And here's who comes to him? The angel Jibril. Angel Jibril comes. When angel Jibril comes, he tells him, Allah has given the order. All you got to do now is tell Allah, yes, go for it. And Allah is going to make all those big stones and rocks fall down on the very people who threw stones and rocks on you. Allah will crush them with those big mountains. Angels are ready to bring the mountains on them. Just say the word. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said no. No. No, he said, instead, I'll make dua or pray or ask Allah that from these people will be guided. Guided to know the truth, guided to worship Allah without any partners. That was what he said. Can you imagine this? And so Allah brought from those same people some of the best teachers of Islam we've ever had. Some, even today, this place, Ataif, that's the name of it. You say Ataif?
Taif.
Ataif, yeah. This is the place where good scholars come from this area. And some of the very people that came to India to give the message of Islam came from right there in a Taif. Is that amazing? Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He went to some people. If you go out of Mecca, there's a place called Arafat. Very famous. And you go past Arafat on the same highway, you keep going. It goes up in the mountains. And when you get up in these mountains, it's nothing but rocks. It's just rocks. It's not trees, not grass. It's rocks and rocks and rocks and rocks, mountains of rocks. That's what it is. And when he went there, because he knew their tribes of some of the Arabs there were distant relatives, and he wanted to tell them about Islam, and he was hoping they would listen. He was hoping they would support him so that they would have more people to go and tell other people about Islam. But these people were so rude, they were so mean, that they wouldn't even acknowledge that he was there. And normally, the Arab custom is that when anybody comes to you, they have 3 days and 3 nights. You don't ask any question. You just take care of them. You give them food. You give them drink. You let them stay there. You give them what do they need. Whatever they need, you take care of them. That's Arab custom. They wouldn't even do that. And they knew he came to speak to the leaders of the tribe. The leader said, why should we talk to him? He claims he's a prophet. If we talk to him and he's not a prophet, we wasted our time talking to a crazy man. And they said, well, what if he is a prophet? Said, well, if he is a prophet and we just called him crazy man, that wouldn't be very good either. So either way, we won't talk to him. They were trying to be smart, make a joke out of it. And then they told the people of the street, you know how you have people who just like live in the street and stuff? And they told these, like children and that, they told him, just get stones and throw these stones on him. And they started throwing rocks and stones on him and his companion and drove them out of the city. And as they were running, they had to run away because people were throwing stones on them, you know? This is not a nice way to greet a visitor, is it? A guest comes to you and you throw stones on them. I don't think this is very nice, is it? And they're throwing these stones until blood is running from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and it's filling up his shoes. He used to wear like sandals, you know, like you have there. And so this is a horrible thing, horrible, to treat somebody like this. And in this condition, with this blood coming out of him, he was standing right by his companion. And here's who comes to him. Angel Jibril. Angel Jibril comes. When Angel Jibril comes, he tells him, Allah has given the order. All you got to do now is tell Allah, yes, go for it. And Allah is going to make all those big stones and rocks fall down on the very people who threw stones and rocks on you. Allah will crush them with those big mountains. Angels are ready to bring the mountains on them. Just say the word. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said no. No. No, he said, instead, I'll make dua or pray or ask Allah that from these people will be guided, guided to know the truth, guided to worship Allah without any partners. That was what he said. Can you imagine this? And so Allah brought from those same people some of the best teachers of Islam we've ever had. Some, even today, this place, At-Taif, that's the name of it. You say At-Taif?
Taif.
At-Taif, yeah. This is the place where good scholars come from this area. And some of the very people that came to India to give the message of Islam came from right there in At-Taif. Is that amazing? Yeah. Now, there's no new prophet going to come. Did you know that? Yeah. Prophet Muhammad was the last prophet. But I want to tell you what he said. His last most famous speech that he ever gave is the biggest speech ever recorded from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Not in length, but in the dynamics of what he said. Because in this speech he told that nobody's better than somebody else. A black person is not better than a white, and a white is not better than a black. He told that a man is not better than a woman, and a woman is not better than a man. He told that the human beings are only better in the sight of Allah according to their taqwa, according to their righteousness, how good they are in their heart, how much they love Allah. This is what appeals to Allah, not these other things. At the end of that speech, and this is what I was going to tell you about, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said something amazing. He said, for the people that are here today, first of all, he's told them, did I convey a message to you? They said, yeah. The message of what? Worship Allah alone and obey Him. Be good to each other. Be fair. Be just. And when he was done, though, he said, did I convey the message? They said, yeah. And he repeated it. Did I? Yes, yes, you gave us the message. Then he says, okay, the ones that are here today, take this message to the ones that are not here. And I hoped that the people who hear it at the end will understand it better than the people that hear it today that are here. And since that time, until this time, all these years, more than 14 centuries, people have been going on and telling the story of Muhammad, peace be upon him, and all of these prophets. They share these stories like I'm sharing with you right now. And whoever does it and really tries their best, Allah is going to test them. The more you try to do this, the more you will be tested. Now, I'm sitting here with you today telling you this story. I'm not going to tell you the story of what's happening in my life, but I promise you, I'm being tested. And everybody who's helping us put this program together is also being tested. And you see that around us, don't you? This happens and that happens. You say, why did that happen? Because we're trying to do what? This very thing Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught us about. Share the true message. There's only one God. Muhammad's his messenger. Can you do, and can I hear you say that? La ilaha?
Illallah.
Muhammad?
Rasulullah.
The whole thing?
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah.
The first part, la ilaha illallah, means there's no God to worship except Allah. The second part, when we say Muhammad or Rasulullah, it means that he's the one that we're going to take the deen or the way of Islam from him. But it also means something else. It doesn't say it. He's his messenger, but what else does it mean? I don't mean the words, the meaning behind the words. It means, listen to this, that we also believe in all the other prophets because he told us about those other prophets. So when you say Muhammad Rasulullah, you are also saying of all the other prophets, they're messengers of Allah too. Let me give you an example. Adam. Let's start with Adam. When Adam came, whoever believed in Adam from his children would have said, La ilaha illallah, Adam ar Rasulullah. Yeah? And whoever came from Ibrahim because he was also a Rasul. He had a book, so he would be a Rasul, and they would have said, La ilaha illallah, Ibrahim.
Rasulullah.
Rasulullah, yeah? The people of Musa. Moses also had a book, so he's a Rasul. La ilaha illallah.
Musa Rasulullah.
Musa Rasulullah. And what about Jesus, Isa? What about his companions? They would have said, La ilaha illallah, Isa Rasulullah. So each prophet, when they came, said, La ilaha illallah, and I am a messenger to you. But they did this. They mentioned the prophets before, and they talked about the prophets to come in the future. Every one of them did. Even Muhammad, peace be upon him, talked about the prophets that came before, and then he mentioned a prophet who will return. In the very end, there will be a prophet who will come back. Who is it?
Isa
alayhi salam. Jesus, peace be upon him. And inshallah, in our programs, we're going to be talking about him and some wonderful stories about him. But for right now, I just want to mention that Muhammad confirmed that he's coming back. And we look forward to him coming back. But when he comes back, he's not going to be bringing any new message or any new Islamic laws or anything like that. In fact, he's going to be following the Islamic law of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What's nice is for us to be able to use our brain and think. It always starts with something small with shaitan. He doesn't start big. Every one of you, none of you here, would run out right now and find a big rock and pray to the rock. You wouldn't do it, would you? But wait a minute. Be careful, because every one of us would have what? Pride. Yeah, every one of us could do that. Well, I'm better than so-and-so. Or, give me back my bike, or this is my pencil, or that's mine, or see, this is starting it. You said that starts worshiping rocks? Well, wait a minute, stop and think about it. That's the stories that we've been telling right along. This is the point that we keep saying. Listen, it starts with that. Because you start to think you're better than somebody else, shaitan is already sitting right there with you. Right then, as soon as you think you're better than somebody else, shaitan became your neighbor. And when you start to act on it, he becomes your brother. And when you start to do something and hurting people, you become the shaitan. That's how it happens. Yeah, you just start to say something about somebody. Hey, do you know so-and-so? She did so-and-so and such. And you know this brother over here, you start doing that, and then it adds, and then it adds, and it goes, and you become the shaitan. That's how it happens. Nobody starts out, when they're a baby, nobody starts out worshiping rocks and sticks and stones. Nobody does. They're babies. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us about it real clear, that every child is born a natural inclination. Inclination means fitra in Arabic language. To do what? Just to love Allah, to worship Allah, do what Allah wants you to do. But then what happens? Step by step, by step. And Prophet Muhammad said that the child is born innocent. Innocent! Like Muslim, the real Muslim. Then their parents will raise them up to be a Jewish, a Christian, a fire worshiper, meaning to take them off of this main path. So be careful about that. Be very careful, because all the prophets warned about that. I want to go back and make sure that I got the message to you and let you think about these people. These people were no different than you and I. Oh yeah, they lived at a different time. They lived in desert maybe, or they lived in mountains, maybe they lived in the woods. But the thing was, that inside their soul is something called nafs. Nafs. The psychiatrists call it the id. Not eid. Id. And in each person has this. And it starts to talk to you and tell you to do things. And if you listen to it, you're going to get in big trouble. Big trouble. So be real careful about that. To obey your parents is important. Because if you learn how to obey your parents, you learn how to obey Allah. When you get married, you have to obey each other. Because it's right for the husband to tell the wife what to do. But it's also right for the wife to show the husband what needs to be done, because he has a job too. But you don't start thinking you're better than somebody else, because Shaitan becomes your what? Your friend, your neighbor, your brother, and then you become Shaitan. It's very dangerous. Now, in all of these stories, what we keep observing is that although it's different places, different times, different situations, they call it ahwal, but it always comes back to the same thing, doesn't it? Some people will believe, and some people won't. So we pray to Allah to always save us and guide us and keep us away from this big fitna, this big problem of the wrong worship. Ameen.
Ameen.
Did a prophet live 1,000 years? A prophet in a fire? Prophets that brought the dead back to life? A prophet in a whale? Find the answers to these and many other questions. Join us for Stories of the Prophets.